Morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. It's Monday, so this is an archive show. First published as a newspaper column sometime in the last 10 years. Thanks for downloading, and I hope you enjoy the show. This story was first published on June 5th of 2016 under the headline, Spooky UFO Cult Lured Away 20 Oregonians to Follow the Two. Here we go. In the fur room at the Bay Shore Inn in Waldport, some 200 people were waiting expectantly for something to happen. None of them knew quite what that something would be. All they knew was that it was something about UFOs. It was September 14th, 1975, a quiet Sunday afternoon. The crowd, mostly hippie types, the hotel's manager would later recall, had come to the hotel in response to the mysterious posters that had been plastered up all over Portland and the Willamette Valley. Quote, UFOs! Why they are here? Who they have come for? When they will leave? The posters had proclaimed with enticing crypticality. Not a discussion of UFO sightings or phenomena. Two individuals say they were sent from the level above human and will return to that level in a spaceship, UFO, within the next few months. This man and woman will discuss how the transition from the human level to the next level is accomplished, and when this may be done. This is not a religious or philosophical organization recruiting membership. However, the information has already prompted a number of individuals to devote their total energy to the transitional process. If you have ever entertained the idea that there might be a real physical level in space beyond Earth's confines, you will want to attend this meeting. Sunday, September 4th, 2 o'clock p.m., Bayshore Inn, Waldport, Oregon.
The conference had been paid for by a man identifying himself as Mr. Simons. He'd laid down $50 in cash for the room, and no questions had been asked or answered. Now it was 2 o'clock. The appointed hour, and a man appeared. He was dressed in a very ordinary fashion, but several witnesses later recalled there was something about his eyes, a, quote, strange shiny look, almost as if they were sightless, as one woman later told the Portland Oregonian.
When he went to the front of the room and began talking, no one introduced him, nor did he give his name. The eerie feeling became more pronounced,
the woman recalled.
His speech sounded as if it were being played on a machine and was turned on and off automatically. He didn't seem to blink his eyes at any time except to tip his head back at regular intervals and half-close both eyes,
she added.
A robot was the only comparison I could make.
Then a woman joined the strange man on stage. Witnesses said her eyes held the same strange, shiny, fixed look as his. The couple told the members of the audience that they were actually millions of years old and had come to Earth in the footsteps of their fellow cosmic traveler, Jesus Christ. The opportunity to follow them, as had been the opportunity to follow Jesus, would likely not knock again for a millennium or more. They were, they assured the riveted audience, the two witnesses foretold of in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 3. They would be upon the earth for 1,260 consecutive days, gathering together ambitious souls who were ready to be transformed into, quote,
children of the next level.
To reach the next level and enjoy deliverance from human suffering and the spiritual corruption of a fallen world through the beings who were visiting the earth in UFOs, the audience members were invited to abandon or give away all their worldly possessions and follow the two. As aspirants to the next level, they would be expected to live a life of near-heroic asceticism, abstaining from all tasty or intoxicating food and drink, and sleeping as little as possible, and strictly avoiding sex. In other words, following the old Gnostic doctrine of turning away from all worldly pleasures so as to open oneself up to celestial ones. Those who were interested were asked to come to a second meeting, a private affair for initiates only, to be held about a week later. The Waldport meeting, though large, went mostly unnoticed by media outlets,
But all that changed shortly after that second private meeting when people started disappearing. It started with a newspaper article that sounded straight out of an H.P. Lovecraft story. Quote,
Newport, reports in Lincoln County of at least 20 local residents disappearing at the bidding of occult beings are supported by no hard evidence, law officials said Saturday.
But it was true. Reports had started pouring in. People who had been in that audience were quitting their jobs, giving their things away, and leaving town with nothing. They would follow the two to a special camp in Colorado, from which, through the intercession of the beings who fly UFOs, they anticipated being carried to the next level. One of them, Robert Rubin of Newport, had given away 4 houses and a 10-acre farm to follow the two. Others had handed off small children to family members before leaving. These new UFO apostles were specifically instructed that they could have no two-way conversations with the family members they'd left behind. The best they could do was to send postcards. Naturally, there was considerable concern about this, especially because many of the postcards were almost identically worded, as if the writer were taking dictation. Reports from the Waldport meeting, after many retellings, started metastasizing into rumors that wouldn't have been out of place in a Lovecraft novella. People remembered seeing a weird, lambent nimbus of light playing about the heads of the glassy-eyed man and woman, whom no one seemed to be able to identify or even fully describe. One audience member claimed he sensed a, quote, aura of death in the meeting. Others reported that the two had prophesied that they were, quote, marked for death and would soon be, quote, returning to the next level, that they would die after delivering their message, as had John the Baptist and Jesus Christ before them. People started wondering if this all might be leading up to some sort of brainwashing-fueled ritual mass suicide. Keep in mind that this was several years before the notorious Jonestown incident, so the creepy cult committing mass suicide narrative was a considerably bigger leap for people to make in 1976 than it is for us today. But then, a few weeks later, the first of the vanished apostles reappeared and began the long and arduous task of putting his life back together. More appeared soon after, including Rubin, who managed to get some of his real estate back. And shortly afterward, authorities finally figured out who the strange couple were. They were Marshall Applewhite and Bonnie Nettles, the founders and leaders of a vaguely New Age movement called Human Individual Metamorphosis, or HIM. For all the mysterious overtones of Lovecraftian cosmicism that the Waldport meeting had evoked in the public imagination, the reality of HIM was turning out to be less sinister. Applewhite and Nettles were leading a group that essentially followed Gnostic Christian doctrine, filtered through a belief in UFOs and heavily influenced by Star Trek. They believed that heaven was an actual planet, like Yugoth in Lovecraft's classic The Whisperer in Darkness. That Jesus was a resident there, and that when he had come up to Earth 2,000 years ago, he had found Earth's population not yet ready to level up, and that UFOs were the conveyance that would take them when they were. Evolving to the next level above human would leave them capable of leaving their bodies, which they sometimes actually called vehicles, and traveling through interstellar space in the company of the next level beings and the UFOs. Again, the parallels to The Whisperer in Darkness are kind of chilling. Of the 20 Oregonians who had left, 18 dropped out of the HIM movement and reprised their interrupted lives. The other 2 disappeared entirely, most likely having established themselves elsewhere, unable to face the humiliation of coming back, and residents of Waldport got back to their normal lives. In 1985, Nettles died. Applewhite carried on without her, claiming she had left her earthly vehicle to move to planet Heaven in a UFO. He later renamed his cult Heaven's Gate. The end, as you may recall, came in 1996 in Southern California, near San Diego. The comet Hale-Bopp flew by the Earth and, convinced that a UFO lurked just behind the comet waiting to take the Heaven's Gate members away to planet Heaven, Applewhite and 38 of his 39 followers rented a mansion near San Diego, dressed in matching Nike running shoes and black shirts with Heaven's Gate Away Team arm patches, and liberated themselves from their earthly vehicles with an overdose of barbiturates mixed with vodka. Key sources in this story have included works by Mick Wright, Benjamin Zeller, Watchman.org, and the archives of the Portland Oregonian. That's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. What you've been listening to is one of more than 500 stories originally created and published as newspaper columns in first-run syndication between 2008 and today. You can read them all at offbeatoregon.com. Other Offbeat Oregon goodies include an active Facebook page, a Twitter feed, a ton of historic photos, and a bunch more stuff, plus a book, including visuals for today's show and full citations to sources. All these things are accessible via our hub page at offbeatoregon.com. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Questions, critiques, ideas for a future episode? Email me at fj@offbeatoregon.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.